Radio Prague News.
Western Bohemia has been hit by a strong windstorm that broke trees and cut electricity supplies. Czechs spend more on drugs, buying modern and more expensive medicaments, according to a government report. And police have detained dozens of football fans protesting against the moving of their club's Bohemians 1905 to another Prague stadium. The region of Western Bohemia was hit by a strong windstorm in the early hours of Saturday that broke trees and left some 4,000 households without electricity, authorities said. Falling trees cut power transmission lines in many places in the regions of Plzeň and Karlovy Vary. The energy producer ČEZ said around half of its customers in the area were cut off. Broken trees also obstructed roads and railways. The authorities said that several houses were flooded by rainwater, but no one was injured in the storm. Czechs spent on average some 5,500 crowns, or around $280, on drugs in 2009, the highest amount ever, according to a government report released on Saturday. The report also registered a decrease in the number of packages sold. On average, Czechs bought 29.5 packages of drugs. The State Institute for Drug Control said Czechs began buying modern and more expensive medicaments. The institute also said that the number of new pharmacies in the country began to decrease, with around 2,300 pharmacies working in the country. Ahead of the first game of the new year of the top Czech football division, the police detained 75 football fans in Prague on Friday night at protest against the moving of their club, Bohemians 1905, to another stadium in the capital. The fans fired flares and petards on their way from the Bohemian Stadium to its new home, the nearby Eden Stadium, which hosts city rival Slavia Prague. Police said that fans refused to end their protest and eventually started a fight with the fans of the rival club. Bohemians 1905 cannot play home games at their own stadium in the Prague neighborhood of Vršovice because it does not comply with the requirements of the country's football association. For the next five seasons, Bohemians and Slavia will share the Eden Stadium, a move rejected by fans of both sides. And in related news, the Prague clubs of Bohemians and Slavia kicked off the new year of the top Czech football division on Friday with a 1-1 draw. The game took place at the Eden Stadium, which is now the home of both sides. Bohemians took an early lead against Slavia with a nice shot by Bartek in the first minute. Slavia then took the initiative and equalized 16 minutes later. The rest of the game saw Bohemians on the defensive, but Slavia were not able to convert any of several opportunities. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Meteorologists warn against strong storms that are expected to hit the Czech Republic on Saturday from the west. High day temperatures should range between 22 and 26 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Thank you very much for joining us. Today, it isn't all politics, sport and business. We'll be bringing you some of the more offbeat Czech news stories in magazine. After that, the heat wave we've been having lately has inspired the choice of phrases in this week's edition of Soundcheck. And later, we'll be speaking to US film producer Ron Yerxa, who was the president of the main jury at the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival this year. But before that, here's Christian Falvey with this week's edition of Magazine.
Would you like to have the telephone numbers of the Czech Republic's leading politicians, read their private text messages, and maybe take a call from the foreign minister? Then shame on you. But you might have been able to if you'd stopped by the right Prague pawn shop last week, where, sifting through the text messages of lost and stolen mobile telephones, an employee realized he had the mobile phone of some big fish. He promptly sold the phone to the news outlet Mladá Fronta Dnes, who in turn sifted through the messages and found the owner and a top story for their website. It was not former Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, as the pawn shop merchant had believed, but former Minister of the Environment Martin Bursík, which they realized not from, quote, hundreds of messages about political meetings, but the intimate ones to his girlfriend Katerina Jacques, also of the Green Party. Now, many a politician would be well distressed by such a finding, but not so the former Greens leader, who did recall once having had a phone like that, but not having lost it. Things have been returned to me unexpectedly before, he said. Thanks very much. It's hot outside. Indeed, we keep mentioning it on our program because it's hard to think about anything else when you're outside. But that's not stopping a group of Silesian Highlanders from doing one of the things they like to do, that is, making charcoal. The Gorole, or Highland people in the Beskids Mountains near the Czech-Slovak-Polish border, have been tending a unique structure that harkens back to their woodland roots. A milír, or burning charcoal pile encased in mud, has to be supervised and beaten down to size 24 hours a day to give the proper product. And after all the hard work, the one in Horní Lomná was ceremonially opened last week. The traditionalists who carry out the process admit they still have charcoal left over from last year's baking, but they say it's a pity to use it after such hard work. They say for all the compliments over their good charcoal, the main thing is preserving what has been a local trade and custom. Be it roebucks, ducks, or wild boars, police in the South Moravian town of Mikulov say they've had their share of dealings with the animal kingdom. They've even evicted unruly pigeons from a shopping center. But the case of the catfish in the fountain in town square, they said, was the most curious of them yet. Mistrustful of the little boy who came to report the intrusive beast, where could it have come from, they told the press, and knowing that seeing is believing, the officers paid a visit to the fountain, only to find, lo and behold, a catfish in the fountain. Being no doubt good police officers, they asked themselves the question that a good police officer would, namely, how did that fish get there? But before the sirens could start wailing, the case was solved before it started when the boy fessed up. The fish had been a gift to a woman who didn't have the heart to kill it, and so gave it to her nephew. He in turn thought the fish too small and gave it to the boy, who then put it in the fountain and alerted the authorities, who put the fish back in the river. Justice was served. Yes, sometimes stories like this attract national attention. Summer is, after all, cucumber season. The Czech Republic's most famous jailbird and jailbreaker might be able to spread his wings a bit again when the movie version of his story premieres next month. The producer of the new Czech thriller, Kajínek, has a seat reserved at the red carpet event for the real Jiří Kajínek, who is serving a life sentence for two hired killings that he denies committing. So far, say the filmmakers, they haven't heard back from the prison, which is not particularly surprising. Jiří Kajínek has tried to break jail on four occasions, once remaining on the run for more than a month, during which time the Czech media painted him as an almost mythical figure of great intelligence and pizzazz. Kajínek himself has not yet seen the film, and was said to be not so interested in the romantic storyline as in sharpening the technical details of his escapes, advising the filmmakers on how to throw a grappling hook, etc. But back to animals and the heat wave, which has the staff at Prague Zoo thinking about how to make polar bears happy in 33-degree temperatures. Their idea was what they call Greenland ice cream, a refreshing mixture of ice, codfish, and veggies. But the bears found it more a thing to play with, to the delight of the zoo-goers. According to the zoo's polar bearologists, the furry beasts don't suffer much in the heat, and if they do, they always have the icy cold waters of their swimming pool. The same goes for the penguins, who get cold water jets in their pens in the summer heat. The ones who really suffer from the heat are the visitors, who do not play with their ice cream and who can be found lounging in the zoo's public wading pools and water sprays like the animals.
This week's edition of Magazine was written and presented by Christian Falvey. Sarah Barufka joins us now because she has some hot tips on how to improve your stock of Czech idioms in this week's edition of Soundcheck.
Welcome to Soundcheck, our Czech language series in which you can learn Czech phrases and idioms through song lyrics. Today we will learn some expressions that might come in handy for those of us who would like to complain about the current heat wave. The song we will be listening to is called Vedro by the group Tichá Dohoda. The word to listen for is Vedro. Vedro in Czech means heat. You can also say horko. Je vedro or je horko translate to it is hot. Other words include teplo, which is Czech for warm. Teple počasí means warm weather. From teplo comes the Czech word for temperature, teplota. Vysoké teploty are high temperatures. If someone has a high fever in Czech, you would say má vysokou teplotu. You can also say horečka for fever, as in mám horečku, I have a fever. And if you want to say it's really bloody hot, you can say je vedro jako v pekle. It is hot as hell. Have another listen. Of course, few can stand to be out in the summer heat without working up a sweat. The Czech word for sweating is potit se. Já se hrozně potím means I am sweating terribly. Another way to say you are sweating profusely, though a lot more colloquial, is to say potím se jako prase, or I am sweating like a pig. And if you just want to complain about the heat, you can say to je vedro. With that, I leave you to find a place to cool down. Thank you for listening, and nashledanou.
Thanks, Sarah. If you've just joined us, thank you for tuning in. This is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. The 45th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival came to an end a week ago, with the main jury prize going to the Spanish film The Mosquito Net. The grand jury's president this year was a man called Ron Yerxa, who's a successful American film producer. Sarah Barufka caught up with him halfway through the festival to talk about the deliberation process, the film business, and the festival circuit. That's for this week's edition of One on One.
Over the last 20 years, Ron Yerxa has produced a number of film hits. Together with his business partner Albert Berger, he has put out audience favorites such as the drama Cold Mountain or the massively successful road movie comedy Little Miss Sunshine, which won 2 Oscars. This year, Ron Yerxa was invited to preside over the grand jury at the Karlo Vivari International Film Festival. Just after the halfway point of the Czech Republic's biggest film event, I asked him about his taste in movies, the festival as such, and what the experience of being a juror had been like.
Well, it's really been great. I mean, the jury is so diverse. You know, everyone's from a different country, and Korea and Australia and Europe. So they're very spirited, free-flowing, kind of wild discussions about the aesthetics of film and what works. So it's been kind of electrifying.
And how heated do those discussions get, and how do you settle disagreements and opinions?
Well, we haven't deliberated, you know, for the final decision yet, but as president of the jury, I try to make sure that everybody has their say about each film, because some people are so much more outspoken than others, and the there's a difference in the level of English. So we have to, I think everyone should be able to express themselves fully, whether they're soft-spoken or, you know, whether they're very animated.
And in terms of the festival as such, how do you find it? How do you find the atmosphere? How would you describe it?
Well, I think the festival is fantastic, great, so well organized, a lot of fun. I'd heard about it for years, and I was eager to come. When I got the invitation, I thought, wow, I've been wanting to go there. And my wife and I think, you know, it's like one of the greatest festivals because of how much activity is on the street, how well organized the screenings are. I love the idea that the main screening venue is totally filled and students are on the stairs. And I know Jude Law was really taken with that, the spirit and the kind of desire to see film and be part of film culture. So it's been, you know, a great festival. Reminds us a little bit of Telluride, which is in Colorado. It almost has a little bit of the feel because that's a small mining town. But and that's a festival we like, but really we couldn't have had a better experience. This has been a lot of fun and really you know, edifying and a great exposure to filmmakers we wouldn't normally meet.
And in terms of film selection, would you say Karlo Vivari is an unusual film festival? Do you think they have some sections or a focus on maybe documentaries or films that you would say sets it apart from other European festivals?
Well, obviously there's a lot more emphasis on European and Eastern European films. So in that way, it's unique. I think it's pretty diverse as far as documentary and dramatic films and comedy. So, you know, the selection is good, and I think it's, it gives a full spectrum. But I particularly was, you know, pleased to see a lot of Eastern European films.
And in terms of the festival circuit here in Europe and in the U.S. in general, what would you say, how do these two differ?
You know, being an American and used to festivals where everybody is super casual, it's kind of nice that there's a black tie opening and a black tie ending, and the formality of eating places, and it was a lot of fun to hang out for that day with Jude Law because of, you know, you get a feeling of how an actor is treated, and, you know, it just has a lot more grandeur and dignity here. And I like the Czech sense of humor. I didn't know how full that was, the irony and the kidding around. So I'm really pleased that I can, you know, joke around with everybody and they throw it right back at me.
Wonderful. And you're a very successful and well-known producer in the U.S. Maybe you could describe what the work of a producer actually entails. I guess most people would know it is about getting the money, but what does a producer do aside from that, and what would you say makes a good producer?
Well, it used to be in the U.S., a producer wasn't so much about getting the money. It was much more developing the script, getting the director, the cast, and really putting together the film so that it wasn't, had some integrity as a whole. But in an odd way, I think American producers are becoming more like European producers in the sense that you have to put the money together from three or four or five sources, and you therefore are much more entrepreneurial. It used to be great in a way when you could just take your film to a studio and they'd say yes or no, or they'd help you build it. But now it's really like, you have to do a lot of that financial work yourself, which I think European producers always did.
And in terms of your taste in cinema, could you maybe mention a few films that you yourself enjoy thoroughly that you keep coming back to?
Well, the films that kind of got me going were Godfather, Godfather 2, Taxi Driver, Badlands. I'm a big fan of American Beauty. I was mentioning when I was in college, closely watched Trains in My Sweet Little Village were big films. Of course, Milos Forman is a big filmmaker, and we were just reviewing his films that he did. Fireman's Ball and Loves of a Blonde before he did Taking Off in the U.S. So those are all films that are, that they meant a lot to me.
And lastly, what are your expectations for the rest of the festival? What are your hopes? And so on.
Well, one is to stay awake because I was staying up so late and drinking so much coffee. Last night I got sort of the chills and the shakes, and I thought, I might have to take a day off. But we're going back to the two screenings tonight. So it's been so much fun and great meeting people. I hope we have a strong finish. I'm looking forward to the jury deliberation. And then I understand that the closing night show is often as entertaining as the opening night. So that should be fun, too.
U.S. film producer Ron Yerxa was speaking there to Sarah Borufka. The interview was recorded when the International Film Festival was still in full swing in Karlovy Vary. And that's all we have time for, I'm afraid, on today's program. We hope you can join us again on Sunday, where, among other things, your letters will be read out and replied to in Mailbox. If you've got any comments or questions about anything you've heard in today's program, please feel free to share them with us. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and the address for letters, Vinohradska 12, that's Vinohradska 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Ian Willoughby, and everybody here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Naslyšenou.